Hi, and welcome to Dr. Scott Gray's Redefining Physical Therapy podcast for orthopedic, sport, and manual physical therapists, delivering practical and real-life content and strategies for busy clinicians. Here is your host and expert physical therapist, Dr. Scott Gray.
Welcome, everyone, to the next episode of the Redefining Physical Therapy podcast. And so today we have an awesome guest on board, and this is Roberta Knoll from Connecticut. And so Roberta has over 20 plus years of experience as a PT. She specializes particularly in the biomechanical gait examination and assessment and treatment of the lower quarter. She is an inventor of the Quadristep orthotic system and co-owner of Nolero 24. And she's been basically making orthotics since 1989, and she's a certified ped orthist, and she's got an array of other experiences working with, you know, Dr. Gary Gray and Dave Tiberio. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to have Roberta Knoll on the podcast today. Tell everyone else, you know, what brought you into the PT profession.
Yeah, I actually had obtained my master's degree in sports medicine back in 1992. And when I was there, I studied at the University of Connecticut, and I had the great opportunity of working with some real PT icons, Dave Tiberio and Gary Gray, who were pioneering lecturers in foot biomechanics. And I attended a lot of their courses and helped out a little bit as a lab assistant. And so I got really intrigued by those guys about the foot. And I thought it was amazing that you could change the foot alignment by a degree or two using an orthotic. And that could influence not only the foot and the ankle alignment, but also the knee, the hip, the back, the pelvis, the whole kinetic chain. So I was sucked into the foot world right away. In fact, my nickname in PT school was Roberta Gate Knoll, because you could bring me a patient that had a shoulder injury, and somehow or another, I bring it back to the foot. So I've always sort of been obsessed with the foot.
Yeah, that's great, Roberta. So what made you get into PT in general? Did you suffer with injuries, and what made you kind of get really intrigued by with gait?
Yeah, so when I was doing this research with Gary and Dave, it was through the physical therapy department, so it was a natural progression for me to go into from my sports medicine package into the physical therapy rehabilitation. I really wasn't interested so much in the scientific and being in a lab and collecting data. I really like the more functional aspect of how you can use gait analysis to improve an athlete or a general patient and alleviate pain, improve fitness, performance. There's just so many ways that in understanding gait, you can affect many types of patients. So in my practice, in any given day, I can see a four-year-old patient, because I specialize in pediatrics, and I can also, the very next patient I see could be an 84-year-old patient, and the patient after that can be a high-level athlete, because gait affects everyone, people of all ages.
Yeah, that's a great point. At the end of the day, you're right. We all walk in some, or have to locomote in some form or fashion, and a lot of times we're standing and moving throughout the day, and so it's going to affect the rest of the body. So that's a great point. So in this episode, with Roberta here, she's going to give a quick introduction to her Quadristep system, which is basically a prefabricated orthotic system, and then she's going to go into a clinical case study applying this concept. And then at the end here, I'll ask her some questions, and then she's got a special offer for those of you that are listening. So make sure you stay tuned to the very end of this very important podcast. So Roberta, why don't you go ahead and just kind of run with it and tell everyone out there about your Quadristep system.
All right. Well, I've owned a custom orthotic laboratory called Stride in Connecticut for about, 20 some years, and now we started the lab in 1989. And along the way of studying feet, I've had the opportunity to collect a lot of images and digital video of patients in motion. And I recognize that there's a distinct pattern to foot types. And those foot types that we've seen are all congenital. Okay, so you inherit your foot type just like you inherit the shape of your nose or the color of your eye. It's part of your gene pool. And so there are really, in my patent, I've identified 24 unique congenital foot types. And interestingly, I consider all those 24 foot types to be normal. Okay, they're just normal variation of the human foot, just like some people have long pointy nose and some people have short squatty noses. So there really isn't one perfect foot. Every foot is different. But those 24 foot types can be subcategorized to make it simpler to learn, and they fall into six functional foot groups. In each group, there are four unique feet. So hence we call our system the quadricep system because there's four feet in every group. The groups, for teaching purposes, we color code and letter code to make them easy to recognize. So there are six functional foot groups that run A through F, and each foot group is color coded. So for instance, the A quad is a yellow group, and that foot is going to be the most high arch cavus foot type. And then the F is the most pronated foot group. That's the orange category. And those are patients that have severe foot and ankle pronation and suffer from things like posterior tibial tendon disorder. In between, there are four other groups of feet, purple, blue, green, and red. And each of those foot types have a specific shape and a unique way of walking. And I think we're going to delve into some of the differences as we go through this discussion. But for now, let's understand that there are six functional foot groups. And I'm going to teach you an easy way to identify those foot groups, and then we'll talk more about their clinical implications and how they can lead to pathologies.
Sure. And by the way, for those of you guys listening, I'm going to be posting some photos on the website so you can kind of follow along with this podcast and kind of refer back to. So, Roberto, you can go ahead and kind of elaborate further on what you were just talking about.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about each category. And the first thing that we need to talk about when understanding feet is the differences between rear foot function, and there are two ways the rear foot can function, and then we're going to talk about the forefoot. So historically, we learned that there are compensated rear foot varices and uncompensated rear foot varices. The easiest way to understand the difference between those two types of rear foot conditions is by looking at the alignment of the heel to the ground and the height of the arch. Those are the two things that are controlled by the rear foot. So when we're looking at these six foot groups, they fall into a pattern. And three of those foot groups, the purple, the green, and the orange, are more pronated than the yellow, blue, and red foot groups. So your pronated foot types have a compensated rear foot varus. That means simply that the rear foot can freely pronate at the subtalar joint. And when that happens, the foot can move to a vertical heel position or sometimes even to a valgus heel position. The more vertical to evert the heel, the flatter the arch will be. So when you're looking at people with flat feet, flat arches, you can infer that they have a compensated rear foot varus. The opposite of that is your uncompensated rear foot varus. The more uncompensated the rear foot, the more supinated the heel. So heels that are inverted will raise the arch. The more inverted your heel, the higher your arch will be. So our yellow group has a significantly inverted heel and a very high arch. And the blue group is more moderately inverted at the heel and has a sort of medium normal looking arch. And then the E group is the group that is a little bit more confusing because it's kind of the transitional foot between the pronators and the not pronators. And that foot will still have an arch, but it will be moderately pronated. So your arch height is directly controlled by your rear foot. The next thing that you want to consider is your forefoot alignment. When we're looking at feet, there are three options. Your forefoot, and that's perpendicular to the heel, and that's called a neutral forefoot. Or you can have a forefoot that's supinated on the rear foot, and that's a forefoot varus. Have a foot that's pronated on the rear foot, and that's a forefoot valgus. the clinical significance of your forefoot is how it's going to affect the way your forefoot connects with your rear foot. So when we're looking at feet and standing, when you're looking at your patient standing and you look at them from behind, you'll observe what we call toe sign. Toe sign is how does the forefoot line up with the back half of your leg, your leg and your heel. If you're standing behind a patient and you can see that the toes are equally displaced both medially and laterally, that's called a neutral toe sign. In 2 foot groups, the C and the D foot group will have a neutral toe sign. If you have a 4 foot varus, as you are walking and you progress through propulsive phase of gait, the 4 foot varus causes your forefoot to drift laterally. And that gives us what we call too many toes laterally. And I think a lot of us as PTs have heard that term before. Now, if you have a 4 foot valgus, the opposite occurs and the toes drift medially. And you see too much of the big toe medially and you start to lose sight of the lesser toes laterally. So when we're looking at a 4 foot valgus, you have what I like to simply call a peekaboo toe. A peekaboo toe is when you see too much of the big toe. So those are the first kind of things that we look at when we're foot typing. There are actually 4 steps to foot typing, and those 4 steps will lead you to determining what foot group you have, and I'll review those in a moment. I'm going to pause now and see if Scott has any questions for me or the audience at this point.
Yeah, so Roberto, I just wanted to clarify for our listeners out there. So basically with the, you know, we're talking about a somewhat neutral or a rear foot varus, right? Majority of people will be in a rear foot varus, and it just depends if it is compensated or uncompensated, correct?
That's correct. And that controls your arch height.
Yep. And then we have our 4 foot valgus and our 4 foot varus are the other 2 components that we're looking at.
Yep, that's correct.
And so for those of you listening, and you can clarify, Roberta, when we do our standing assessment, what Roberta was talking to about was the peekaboo sign and the toeing out is what you will see in your structural examination, just looking at their arches. So with a 4 foot valgus, you'll see the big toe kind of exposed more medially versus a 4 foot valgus. You'll see the lateral 2 toes kind of more abducted, correct?
Last one would be 4 foot varus.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, 4 foot varus. 4 foot
varus abducts your toes. Yep. And a 4 foot valgus adducts your toes.
All right.
Yeah, and I'll review these 4 steps for you in a sequential order, 4 steps planting foot. But before we go on, I want to point out the great thing about this foot typing algorithm is we can stop relying on the goniometer. You know, a lot of us have spent painful hours trying to measure subtalar neutral, rear foot varuses, and 4 foot valguses. And studies show that is not a reliable method of assessment. There's a lot of inter-rater and intra-rater reliability error in goniometric assessment of the foot and the ankle. So this is a very natural assessment method for any physical therapist because it's basically postural assessment of the lower extremity, beginning with the foot and looking at how the foot affects knee, hip, and back alignment. So it's a very easy process to do. And if it's okay with you, Scott, I'll just quickly go through those 4 steps to foot typing. And one thing I like to kind of joke about because I'm a big football fan is I call this the 2-minute drill. I really think if you're taking more than 2 minutes to pick the foot type, you're probably overthinking it. So I'm going to go ahead and review the 4 steps that we just kind of gave an intro for. The first step is looking at arch height. Now we know that your arch height is directly controlled by your rear foot, whether it's compensated or uncompensated. So the yellow group, which is our A quad, has the highest arches of all 6 foot groups. And that's because the heel is significantly inverted. The C group is going to have a moderate curl, and that produces a normal arch. The E quad, which is the red group, can pronate a little bit more at the rear, but it doesn't completely flatten out. Side of the chart, we're going to see 3 color-coded groups, the purple, the green, and the orange, and they progressively go from B being a pronated arch to D being more pronated, and F being completely pronated with your arch fully pronated and on the ground. So that's due to the level of compensation of the rear foot. The more compensated you are, i.e. if your heel is vertical, you're going to have a fairly pronated arch. But if your heel moves into valgus, you're going to have a completely flat arch. So arch height in this image that we're showing on Scott's website and this chart will show you that your arch height is controlled by your level of heel pronation or whether you're compensated or uncompensated at the rear foot. Now, that being said, that should take you about 5 to 10 seconds to assess. Just simply look at how high the arches is, how high the arches are, and narrow your choices down. Don't worry about picking one color at this point, because I always warn new learners, don't put all your eggs in the arch basket. Looking at arches will kind of narrow things down, choices down, but that's not enough to assess a particular foot type. You need to look at some other variables. So in step two, we're going to look at the toe sign. And remember, toe sign is controlled by the forefoot. If you have a neutral forefoot, you're going to see toes are displaced equally on both sides of the foot. This is called a neutral toe sign. And that means you're in the middle row of the foot typing chart. And so a neutral toe sign simply means you have two choices, the C or blue color or the D or the green color. On the bottom row of the chart, we see that the E, which is the red group, and the F, which is the orange group, have too many toes laterally. Their forefoot has drifted into abduction, and we've lost sight of the big toe medially. So that means the patient must have a forefoot varus. So when you're looking at a patient standing, if you see too many toes laterally, right away you know you can eliminate the top four color-coded groups, and your choices have to be narrowed down to the red or the orange group. On the top row of the chart, we see the A quad, which is yellow, and the B quad, which is purple. And we're seeing that the big toe has drifted medially and has that what I call peekaboo toe. So when you see too much of the big toe medially and you're starting to lose sight of the lesser toes laterally, that means you have a forefoot valgus, and that means that you're on the top of the chart. So those are the first two steps to foot typing. And again, that whole process should take a minute or two. And by coupling those together, we can now understand the differences between these six foot groups from a functional postural perspective. Let me just sum that up for you. A green foot is a pronated arch with a neutral toe sign. A blue foot is a normal arch with a neutral toe sign. A B foot is a pronated arch with a peekaboo toe sign, seeing too much of that big toe medially. An A quad, which is the yellow group, is a high arch with a peekaboo toe sign. And an E, which is the red, and an orange, which is the F, have both pronated, they're both pronated arches. They both have too many toes laterally. But the difference between an E and an F is going to be in the level of the arch height. An E will still have something of an arch, and an F quad will have a severely pronated arch. It will typically collapse down to the ground. So in those first two steps, you can pretty much identify your foot type. The third step to looking at feet is looking at the way a patient walks. What we teach in our classes, and we're going to talk about an offer to get you some more educational training, is this is just basically an introduction. When we watch a patient walk, we're going to be able to identify their foot group simply by the angle of their gait and the things that we see when they're walking and how they push off their forefoot. So all six of these foot groups has a very distinct characteristic way of walking. And then the last and fourth step to foot typing is looking at calluses. Calluses are a good concluding factor. Each of these foot groups will have a very distinct callus pattern. So the four steps are looking at arch height, looking at toe sign, looking at how the patient walks, and then observing their callus patterns. And that's going to lead us to determining what their foot type is.
That's great, Roberta. Do you have anything else you want to add in on that?
I would like to just say that each foot type is going to cause a very distinct callus pattern, and it's all because of the way they walk. Each foot group will then consequently be predisposed to particular types of pathologies. So we'll have signs and symptoms that we can link to each foot group, particular types of calluses, and we have nicknames for each foot group. The A-quad, for instance, because they have a very supinated heel and a forefoot valgus, they're going to tend to be fall into a group that we call our chandelier shakers. When they come walking into the room, you're going to hear them coming from a mile away because they don't absorb shock very well. B-quads are in-toe walkers. C-quads walk like a duck. They walk with their toes pointing east and west, so we nickname our C-quad group our John Wayne walker. And our D-quad group, which is the very pronated foot type, we nickname our Fred Flintstone foot. E-quads walk with a big heel whip, and it gives them a nice wiggle in their walk, so we call them our runway models. And then the F-quad foot, we call basically the failed foot because of the severity of their foot pronation. So there's nice, easy ways to help you remember the different foot types, and then we teach what kinds of symptoms are predisposed, each patient is predisposed to because of their foot type.
Thank you for listening to Scott Gray's Redefining Physical Therapy podcast, the number one podcast for orthopedic, sport, and manual physical therapists.